आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम अनुजा कुमार। द हेडलाइंस। पोलिंग इज अंडर वे फॉर असेंबली इलेक्शंस इन हरियाणा। प्राइम मिनिस्टर नरेंद्र मोदी टू लॉन्च मल्टीपल डेवलपमेंट प्रोजेक्ट्स वर्थ ओवर 56,000 करोड़ रुपीज इन महाराष्ट्र टुडे। To also release 18th installment of PM Kisan scheme. India renews its call for adoption of an international treaty against terrorism. India becomes fourth nation to cross $700 billion in forex reserves. And in cricket, New Zealand beat India by 58 runs in Women's T20 World Cup in Dubai. And now the news in detail. Polling is underway for assembly elections in Haryana. Voting is taking place for all 90 assembly seats in a single phase. The polling, which began at 7 in the morning, will conclude at 6 in the evening. Over 2 crore 3 lakh voters will decide the fate of 1,031 candidates. A total of 20,632 polling stations have been set up across the state. Chief Electoral Officer of the state, Pankaj Agarwal, said adequate security arrangements have been made at all polling stations along with webcasting facility to ensure a free, fair and smooth voting. Now we go over live to our correspondents covering the polling at different places in the state. Our correspondent Suparna Saikia joins us from Gurugram constituency first. Good morning, Suparna.
Good morning, Anuja.
Suparna, what is the atmosphere there?
Anuja, polling in 90 assembly seats in Haryana is progressing smoothly. I am standing at Gurugram's Lancers International School polling booth where people have started lining up since morning. Turnouts in the city have always been a cause of concern. And in order to tackle this urban apathy, district administration has taken a number of measures to make voting convenient for people. Out of the 15,000 booths set up, 126 booths are in high-rise buildings, and these booths are catering to a cluster of societies in the vicinity. It has been expected that people will turn up in large numbers to exercise their franchise. Besides, adequate arrangements have been made, like drinking water, sheds, toilets, ramps, wheelchairs and water coolers. Anuja.
Yes, Suparna, who are the prominent candidates in the fray today in Haryana?
Haryana is witnessing a multi-cornered contest with BJP, Congress, Aam Aadmi Party, JJP and INLD all fielding candidates in the fray. BJP is seeking to return for a third time in office. And meanwhile, Aap and Congress are fighting elections separately after seat-sharing talks failed. Some of the prominent candidates include Haryana Chief Minister Nayab Singh Saini from Ladwa seat, former Chief Minister Bhupinder Singh Hooda from Gadi Sampla Kiloi, former Deputy Chief Minister Dushyant Chautala from Uchana Kala, Vinesh Fogar from Julana, and Savitri Jindal from Hisar. Anuja.
Thank you, Suparna, for that update. And now our correspondent Anupam Mishra joins us from Ballabgarh Assembly seat in Faridabad. Good morning, Anupam.
Yes, Anuja. We are now at Government Girls Model Senior Secondary School polling booth in Ballabgarh Assembly constituency in Faridabad district.
Yes, Anupam. How is the polling progressing there?
Yes, Anuja. We can see especially youth, women who are coming in large numbers to vote and participate in the Festival of Democracy.
Right, Anupam, tell us about some high-profile constituencies in the state.
Anuja, if we talk about Ballabgarh Assembly seat, BJP has again fielded Mulchand Sharma, who is currently minister in the Nayab Singh Saini cabinet. Congress has given ticket to Parag Sharma. Sharda Rathod, who represented the constituency as Congress MLA in 2005 and 2009, is also in the fray as an independent candidate. Ravindra Fauzdar is the AAP candidate here. If we talk about other constituencies, Chief Minister Nayab Singh Saini is contesting from Ladwa seat in Kurukshetra. Former Chief Minister Bhupinder Singh Hooda is Congress candidate from Gadi Sapla Kilo in Rohtak district. Former Deputy CM Dushyant Chautala is the JJP candidate in Uchana Kala. INLD leader Abhay Singh Chautala is contesting from Elinabad. BJP leader Captain Abhimanyu is in the fray from Narnon. Savitri Jindal is contesting as independent candidate in Hisar. And wrestler turned politician Vinesh Fogat is fighting from Congress ticket in Julana seat.
Okay, Anupam, thank you so much for that update. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has called upon people to cast their votes and record numbers in Haryana Assembly elections and be a part of this festival of democracy. In a social media post, Mr. Modi extended best wishes to all the young voters in the state who are going to exercise their franchise for the first time. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will be on a day-long visit to Maharashtra today. During his visit, the Prime Minister will launch multiple development projects worth over 56,000 crore rupees in the state from Vashim and Thane. Mr. Modi will also release the 18th installment of PM Kisan scheme. Over 9.4 crore farmers across the country will receive direct financial benefits amounting to more than 20,000 crore rupees. More from our correspondent.
In Vashim, Prime Minister Narendra Modi will dedicate more than 7,500 projects to the nation under the Agriculture Infrastructure Fund worth over 1,920 crore rupees apart from releasing benefits of PM Kisan and Namo Shetkari scheme. He will dedicate 5 solar parks with a total capacity of 19 megawatt across Maharashtra under Mukhyamantri Saur Krishi Vahini Yojana 2.0. In Thane, Prime Minister will inaugurate and lay the foundation stone of key metro and road projects including BKC2 RAJVLR section of Mumbai Metro Line and will lay the foundation stone of Thane Integral Ring Metro Rail project to be constructed at a cost of around 12,200 crores. Prime Minister will lay the foundation stone of elevated eastern freeway extension from Chedanagar to Anandnagar in Thane worth around 3,310 crore rupees. Further, he will lay the foundation stone of phase 1 of Navi Mumbai Airport Influence Notified Area project worth 2,550 crore rupees. Prarthana, Akashvani News, Mumbai.
Academicians and researchers across the country have hailed the Union Cabinet's recent decision of conferring of the status of classical language to 5 Indian languages. The Cabinet on Thursday included Assamese, Bengali, Marathi, Pali and Prakrit in the list of classical languages. This status will help the languages receive several benefits from the government in promoting their study and preservation. Talking to Akashvani News, Calcutta University's Buddhist Studies Department Professor Dr. Ujjwal Kumar said these languages have cultural heritage and this decision will help in the promotion of the languages. He added that it will generate more employment opportunities for literature students.
The benefits these languages or the expert or the student of these languages can gain to get more employment opportunity, academic opportunity, and I hope the government in India will give more emphasis to promote these languages.
Member Secretary of Indira Gandhi National Centre for Arts, Dr. Sachitanand Joshi, said the inclusion of these languages has historic significance. He added the country's ancient literature is available in these languages and inclusion as classical languages will help in studies and research.
Historical significance that these languages are being included in the classical languages because we know all our ancient literature is in these languages, and if we develop these languages, if we develop scholarship in these languages, there is immense potential of study and research in these languages.
This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. India has become the fourth economy in the world to surpass $700 billion in foreign exchange reserves, joining China, Japan and Switzerland. India's foreign exchange reserves surged by $12.588 billion to touch a new all-time high of $704.885 billion for the week ending September 27. In the previous week ending 20th of September, the forex reserves jumped by $2.8 billion to $692.3. The sharp increase in forex reserves strengthened India's ability to cushion against global economic uncertainties and provides greater stability to its currency in the face of volatile international markets. India has renewed its urgent call for adopting an international treaty against terrorism, the one it first proposed nearly 30 years ago. Addressing the United Nations General Assembly's Legal Committee on Thursday, R. Methili, a legal officer with India's UN mission, expressed deep concern over the growing strength of terrorist groups, which are now harnessing cutting-edge technologies like drones to enhance their capabilities. She emphasized the need for countries to overcome the current stalemate in finalizing the Comprehensive Convention on International Terrorism. Ms. Methley condemned the countries that justify terrorism for political reasons, which has previously defended certain groups as freedom fighters. She urged the international community to move past these divisions, warning that the global fight against terrorism is being weakened by such political agendas.
It is unfortunate that some amongst us, motivated by their narrow political agendas, look for reasons to justify terrorism. Because of these states, the global resolve to fight against terrorism gets diminished. Because of such states, even 15 years after the Mumbai terror attacks, the masterminds continue to roam scot-free with full state hospitality. Not only do such states justify terrorism, their governments and their agencies have made terrorism their state policy.
External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar will travel to Islamabad to attend the Shanghai Cooperation Organization SCO Summit on the 15th and 16th of this month. External Affairs Ministry spokesperson Randhir Jaiswal confirmed this during a media briefing in Delhi yesterday. On Zakir Naik's visit to Pakistan, Mr. Jaiswal said India is not surprised that a fugitive from Indian justice has received a high-level welcome in Pakistan. He termed it as disappointing and condemning.
Zakir Naik, yes, we have seen reports that he is being fitted in Pakistan. He has been warmly welcomed there. It is not surprising for us that an Indian fugitive, a fugitive from Indian law, justice, has received a high-level welcome in Pakistan. It is something which is disappointing, let me say. It's condemnable, but at the same time, as I said, it's not surprising.
On to sports. In the Women's T20 Cricket World Cup, India lost to New Zealand by 58 runs in Dubai last night. Chasing a target of 161 runs, the women in blue were bundled out for just 102 runs in 19 overs. For New Zealand, Rosemary Mayer took 4 wickets. Earlier opting to bat first, New Zealand posted 164 in their allotted 20 overs. Sophie Devine top scored with an unbeaten 57 off 36 balls. Renuka Singh took 2 wickets for India. We have a report.
The Indian women's cricket team faced a tough start to their T20 World Cup campaign with a loss to New Zealand, which also ended New Zealand's 10-match losing streak in T20Is. India, placed in the group of death, faces tough competition ahead, including a match against defending champions Australia on October 13. However, the road to the semi-finals remains wide open. The Harmanpreet-led side will have a chance to redeem themselves, starting with their clash against arch-rivals Pakistan tomorrow, followed by Sri Lanka on October 9. To strengthen their playoff chances, India must win all 3 remaining matches and significantly improve their net run rate by securing comprehensive victories. Manik Sharma, Akashvani News, Delhi.
Today, Australia will face Sri Lanka in a Group A match starting at 3:30 p.m. IST. In the second match, England will take on Bangladesh in a Group B fixture at 7:30 this evening. Both matches will be held in Sharjah. In tennis, the Indo-Croatian duo of Rohan Bopanna and Ivan Dodig have advanced to the second round of men's doubles at the Shanghai Masters. The duo secured a comfortable 6-4, 6-3 victory over the Spanish pair of Pedro Martinez and Pablo Carreño Busta yesterday in the first round. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Anita Anand.
Thank you, Anuja. The landmark visit by a senior government functionary to Pakistan in a decade to attend a key meeting makes headlines in all the dailies today. Hindustan Times writes, Jaishankar will travel to Islamabad for SCO meet. A headline in Financial Express trades, Apple widens India's basket to make all iPhones models here. The Times of India adds Apple to open 4 new stores in India. Amidst escalating tensions in West Asia, the Israel embassy in the national capital wants to train its security personnel at police shooting range in Delhi, informs the Indian Express. Delhi University to allow students to pursue 2 degree programs simultaneously, notes the Pioneer. And finally, bridging the gender gap, Indian venture capital firms are increasingly hiring more women, a conscious strategy leading to better decision and investment, writes the Economic Times. And with that, it's back to you, Anuja.
Thank you, Anita. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Polling is underway for assembly elections in Haryana. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to launch multiple development projects worth over 56,000 crore rupees in Maharashtra today, to also release 18th installment of PM Kisan scheme. India renews its call for adoption of an international treaty against terrorism. India becomes fourth nation to cross $700 billion in forex reserves And in cricket, New Zealand beat India by 58 runs in Women's T20 World Cup in Dubai. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.